And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Jesus just threw a lasso around the loose practices of divorce of the day and tightened it and said, this is not how marriage is to be treated. This is not how you are to do it.
If you think the institution of marriage suffers greatly in today's culture, don't make the mistake of thinking the phenomenon is something new. Jesus confronted the Pharisees about it as well. And on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green looks into the issue as he begins the series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don, what's the biggest misunderstanding people always seem to have regarding marriage?
Well, that's a great question, Bill. And you know, my friend, I think that the biggest threat to marriage is this, is that people come expecting and demanding their own personal happiness rather than making it their goal to make their spouse happy. And that's where all the problems come in marriage, is when people selfishly start to demand what they want. And when two sinners are demanding what they want, then conflict is inevitable. Well, what we're going to do in this series, When Marriage Gets Difficult, is point you in a different direction, holding up the Lord Jesus Christ as our example. Stay with us if your marriage is tough, and if your marriage is good, we're going to strengthen those things that have made it strong.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible ready as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
Now, I promise you that by the end of this message, everyone, whether you're married or not, the application of what we're going to have to say today extends far beyond marriage. But marriage is the focus of what Jesus is saying here. And so we're going to take a look at it from a couple of perspectives, I guess you might say, realizing that we're talking directly about marriage, but also on a broader sense, we're talking about the way that we think about life. And the way that we think about the way that we respond when life maybe doesn't go the way that we want to. Whether that's marriage turned out to be a piece of sorrow that you weren't expecting when you took your vows, or whether other circumstances or people or relationships have conspired to make you unhappy and finding life to be difficult to walk through. We need to think from the perspective that it's not, I have a right to be happy, so that you're making demands horizontally on those around you. It's rather, I have a responsibility to be righteous, and your focus is vertical in what God calls you to do and be. Now, in verse 31, we're going to break this message down into two parts. We're going to kind of hinge it that way. And in the first half of the message, we can just simply title this, The Pharisees and Divorce. The Pharisees and Divorce. And so we're stepping back for a moment to see the context of what Jesus was talking about. And I think by the end of the message, it will be very clear why we framed things the way that we did here, because the Pharisees were approaching marriage from a sense of an entitlement to happiness and what they wanted marriage to be. The Pharisees, and the way that you see this and the way that you know this, is found in what we're just going to say just now. The Pharisees practiced divorce. They regulated divorce based on an Old Testament text found in Deuteronomy chapter 24. And I'd invite you to turn back to that long book, the fifth book of the Bible, the fifth section of the book of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 24. And we're not going to try to exposit this passage, just to refer to it so that it is in your mind as we see and examine what Jesus has to say here in Matthew chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 and 4, let me just pause and remind you of what we said about God's view of marriage. God, as Scripture makes very plain, even from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, God designed marriage to be a permanent union between a man and a woman in a covenant bond of marriage. That would be a union that was permanent, it was exclusive, it was intimate, and it was loving. That is how God designed marriage to be from the very beginning. And marriage, therefore, holds a high and lofty purpose in the plan of God, in the design of God, in the order of God in the universe, the order of God in the moral universe. God put marriage on a pedestal not only designed to bring companionship to the couple, but also to manifest, to be a living illustration of what ultimately would be a picture of the love that Christ has for the church and the love and submission that the church has to Christ. When you start to tamper with marriage, you start to tamper that which is right at the heart of the plan of God and the picture of His redemptive purposes. It's very, very serious to do that. And so, as a culture and as individuals, we are to treat marriage with respect. We are to realize that this is a sacred institution set apart by God to be treated with the utmost respect and care and devotion. Now, by the time of Moses, the Jews had already begun to lose that perspective and had developed a rather loose attitude toward divorce. And in Deuteronomy chapter 24, God gives law to regulate the nature and the practice of divorce. Now, that might sound strange for God to do that, when He intended marriage to be exclusive and permanent. Why would He make allowance for divorce? Well, we'll see that as we go through. But basically, you need to understand that God never approved of divorce. He never commanded divorce. He never condoned it. But what we're about to read in Deuteronomy 24 was necessary to regulate the practice that had developed in order to prevent even further chaos from taking place. And so let's look at these first four verses of Deuteronomy 24 with that background in mind, that the responsibility is to be righteous and that God intended marriage to be permanent, loving, and exclusive and intimate. Chapter 24, verse 1 says, "When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out from his house, and she leaves his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. And if the latter husband turns against her and writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then her former husband who sent her away is not allowed to take her again to be his wife, since she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance." Moses at this time is speaking just shortly before the children of Israel would enter into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua. And so he's speaking at this time, and there at the end when it says, "Don't bring sin on the land which the Lord your God gives you," it's looking forward to their life in the land of Canaan. Now, this bill of divorcement was given as a means of providing protection to the wife who was being sent away. The prohibition against remarrying her original husband was designed to protect the sanctity of marriage and to protect the woman from a casual husband who was simply manipulating circumstances against her. The prohibition against remarriage kept the husband from walking in and out of the marriage saying, "I divorce you, oh, I take you back. I divorce you, oh, I take you back. I divorce you, I bring you back." By saying that when divorce occurs, it is final and there is no coming back after the wife remarries someone else, it's establishing a parameter of seriousness that says when you break this marriage bond, something serious and permanent is happening and you can't go back to it later on. If you send your wife away, the purpose of this text is, you can't get her back if she remarries. And then that marriage, for whatever reason, comes to an end. And the Lord said, you must give her a certificate of divorce. You must document this properly and give your wife a certificate that protects her and gives her a measure of legal status and protection going forward as you send her away. That's not to say God loves divorce. No, Malachi 2:16 says God hates divorce. but it was a means of regulating a practice that otherwise was going to spin out of control. How would it spin out of control? When you go back to Matthew, you find the answer to that question. Flash forward from Deuteronomy 24 to Jesus in the midst of the Pharisees. At this time, and you don't find this so much laid out directly in the text of Scripture, but it's well documented in extra-biblical sources. At the time of Christ, the Pharisees had, now watch this, the Pharisees had an internal dispute over the proper grounds for divorce. There was a rabbi named Shammai who said that divorce was justified only for the case of adultery. There was another rabbi named Hillel who said that a man could divorce his wife for any reason whatsoever. If you turn to Matthew chapter 19, you'll see indication of this. Matthew 19 in verse 3, you'll see this indication of what was happening amongst the Pharisees. They were a separate group to themselves, and yet within their group they had a difference of opinion over what the proper grounds for divorce were. And so in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, some Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Can you divorce for any reason that you want? And Jesus goes on to correct him in a manner that we will see in just a moment. But beloved, step back with me and let's think about what we see going on here. God's view of marriage required intimacy and sacrificial love and permanence. And that was laid out plainly and clearly in the Old Testament, as we have seen. In light of that, how on earth did certain Pharisees ever get to a point where they could say that you could get divorced for any reason whatsoever? How in the name of God did they get to that point in teaching their followers about marriage? Well, they did this. And beloved, this is much closer to home than you might realize what I'm about to say. When Deuteronomy chapter 24 spoke of a man finding indecency in his wife, here's what they did. The Pharisees, that group of Pharisees, interpreted indecency according to the subjective views of the husband. If the husband found something to be indecent in his wife, that was a sufficient grounds for divorce. So that, literally speaking, if the wife burned the food, the husband had grounds for divorce. If the husband found a more attractive woman, he had grounds for divorce under this kind of teaching. And what the Pharisees said in light of that was, well, you found indecency, then what you need to do is this. Just be sure that you give your wife the proper certificate of divorce. In other words, do the paperwork and you will have no guilt before God. You can divorce your wife for any reason that you want. Just give her the certificate of divorce that Moses commanded. They trivialized divorce so that they could live however they pleased. They wanted a pursuit of happiness and totally disregarded and demolished the institution of marriage, all in the name of God. All in the name of saying, this is God's will for me. Look, I'm doing the paperwork. Here is the certificate of divorce. Well, what does Jesus say about that? Look at Matthew 19, verse 4. I believe you're still in Matthew 19. He corrects them and admonishes them and says, haven't you even read the Bible if you're talking this way? In verse 4, he says, he answered and said, have you not read? You claim to be those who teach people about God and about his ways and about what God requires. Haven't you read this? Haven't you read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, verse 5, For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Haven't you read that? It's in the Bible. And here you are telling men that they can divorce their wife for any reason whatsoever. Just give her the certificate of divorce. This is a total contradiction of the institution of marriage as God established it, as it is plainly written in the Word of God. Jesus says to them. And so in verse 6, he says, "So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Jesus says divorce is not appropriate. Divorce is not to be treated so casually. And the Pharisees had a question in light of Deuteronomy 24. In verse 7, they said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?" Why is it then that divorce is provided for in the Old Testament if, Jesus, what you're saying is true? And Jesus answers them and explains to them. He said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart," referring your meaning the Jews, "because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives." In other words, you were going to do what you wanted to do anyway. You had already abandoned God's view of marriage with the way that you were handling it. Since you were going to do what you wanted to do anyway, Moses permitted it and regulated it in order to steer your disobedience into a realm that would minimize its consequences. Look at the end of verse 8. "But from the beginning, it has not been this way." This was never the design of God. Your hardness of heart, your indifference to marriage, was never what God planned marriage to be. And so he goes on and says in verse 9, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery." Jesus just threw a lasso around the loose practices of divorce of the day and tightened it and said, "This is not how marriage is to be treated. This is not how you are to do it." Now, with that in mind, go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 31, with all of that background in mind. This is what Jesus is alluding to in summary form here in verse 31. And remember what's going on here in verse 31, that this is part of Jesus's series of illustrations indicating how, for his disciple, their righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. Look over at Matthew chapter 5, verse 20 for a moment. Jesus said in verse 20, "I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." And so the Pharisees had this practice of so-called righteousness with respect to marriage and divorce. And they said, "Brother, don't worry about it. Just give her the paperwork and go on your way. Get rid of that woman. As long as you give her the certificate, all will be well with you and God." Do you see that simply guaranteed the most selfish, sinful approach to marriage imaginable? To give to a man the liberty to send his wife away for any reason whatsoever, according to his own subjective desires, guaranteed that sin would be at the center of marriage. Selfishness would be at the center of marriage, rather than the selfless, sacrificial, permanent, exclusive, intimate love that God intended marriage to have. This is about so much more than dotting the correct I's and crossing the correct T's. Jesus says you're thinking about it all wrong. You're looking to make marriage fail because you are selfish and self-centered in what you want. You need to think completely differently about marriage. Go back to God's original intent in marriage and honor that. Honor the principles. The certificate of divorce on the back end was just an accommodation to hard hearts. That has nothing to do with being a faithful follower of Christ, a faithful disciple of the living God. You can't You can't toss away marriage just because you're unhappy. Marriage is far more than that. And here's the thing, beloved, as we step back and as we look at these things and we consider what's being said here, for the Pharisees, their unhappiness, their discontent in marriage was a revelation of what was in their hearts. The fact that they could divorce on any grounds whatsoever and have the approval of their religious leaders as they did it was an indication that they viewed marriage lowly, that they wanted what they wanted their own pursuit of happiness, and they had no regard for the things that God had revealed as being preeminent in His plan. And so their discontent brought all of that to bear. It was like throwing open the closet and saying, here's what's inside the closet. Go through and see all of the dirty laundry and the garments. Here's what's in here. And what's in your heart, Pharisee, is great sin and selfishness because of the casual way that you treat marriage. Now, Jesus in verse 32 goes on and explains a proper view of divorce. But I didn't want to hustle into that and hurry into that when there are things to be said here about us. We should not think about this passage and look at verse 31 and just say, oh, those Pharisees, and look at them and externalize it all and miss the fact that this has something very important to say to us. You see, beloved, speaking to those of you that are married, when you are discontent in your marriage, there is an occasion at hand to display what is in your heart. There is the occasion at hand. How you respond to that discontent becomes a measure of what's in your heart. And if you approach it from the sense, I have a right to be happy, then you're going to respond to that in a selfish way that's going to spin things out of control even more so. If you realize that the idea in marriage is not for you to be happy, but for you to live righteously before God, you'll come out in a different position altogether. What am I saying? What do I mean by this? How could we illustrate what I'm saying? Well, let's say that you are discontent in your marriage. I'm not making accusations here. As far as I know, you're all happy in your marriage. We're talking about principles here. How could you recognize a spiritual Pharisee in marriage? Well, here's one way that you could recognize a Pharisee in marriage. When he or she becomes discontent in the marriage, she just becomes indifferent to what her spouse thinks, what the spouse feels, what the spouse says. That's a spiritual Pharisee that says, you know what, I don't care. I don't care what they say. I'm not going to engage. I'm just going to check out of this. We may live in the outer shell of marriage, but I'm checking out of here. I don't care what they say. Beloved, that's a spiritual Pharisee at work. How do you know that? How do you know that that's not just a preacher making an accusation? Well, go back to God's intent for marriage. It is meant to be permanent, loving, exclusive, and intimate. If you are married, that is God's call on your life, that you would give that to your spouse. To say, I'm going to check out. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to listen. I don't care what this person says. I'm not going to engage or give myself to the relationship because I'm not happy. Well, stop thinking horizontally and start thinking vertically. The God that you say that you know says that marriage is to be like this. You do not have the liberty then to say, I'm not going to do that, because you are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Jesus was clear about marriage and divorce. God ordained marriage as a type of Christ and the church. It is that above all, not a vehicle just for personal satisfaction. Well, next time on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will present 5 principles of application for a biblical marriage, and we hope you'll be with us. Right now, though, Don's back in studio with some closing encouragement.
You know, friend, one of the things that I love about radio is it reaches into lives that we would never otherwise meet, never otherwise be able to reach with the truth of God's Word. And I'm guessing that perhaps this is coming to you at a time where life is maybe a little bit difficult for you. You know, as you listen today, I just want you to know that we pray for you. Even though we don't know you by name, we care about you, we love you, we want God's Word to minister to you and strengthen you. So we send this program to you today with our prayers that God would bless you through His Word and that He would encourage you through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. I'm Bill Wright. Join us again next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.